Well, thank you, John, and thank you to the Walker family for, I'm not sure how else to thank you, but thank you to the Walkers for ministering to us this morning. And I'm not going to speak for that long, I promise. Three quarters of an hour should pull it up. When our children were little babies, dressing them was a big process. First of all came the cloth nappy. Remember that one, ladies? The cloth nappy. Our firstborn, Timothy, he had cloth nappies. And I thought they were just the best thing because you could pull them off, hang them on the washing line, get the gurney, right? No? So there was the cloth nappy first, and then there were the little pants. So no, the singlet came next, and then the little pants. If it was summer, it was just singlet and pants. If it was winter, it was singlet, and then the all-piece, long-sleeved onesies. Remember that? And then the last thing in dressing the baby was the little bunny rug. So the bunny rug always confused me. Did you tie it behind the baby? Did you put it on first and tie it in front of the baby? I was never quite sure. And I'm not sure what you guys were like, but when we wrapped up our little baby in the bunny rug, it was like this. You know, they were snug, but I don't think they could move. Like little arms trying to push out like that. This morning I want to speak about unwrapping the baby in the manger. The Bible tells us that when Mary gave birth to Jesus, the first thing that she did, I'm sure she didn't have disposable nappies, she dressed her baby and she put her baby in snuggly cloths and laid him in a manger. That whole idea of wrapping up Jesus in snuggling clothes, to me, is a metaphor for what we in our culture and through history have done with Jesus. We have wrapped him up. We've wrapped him up in our ideology about who he is or who he should be. We have almost kept him in the box, if you like. We have created him in our image. And this morning, I want to unwrap Jesus. What do we find when we unwrap Jesus? See, some people think Jesus is nice and mild and meek, and he is, and yet Jesus is the Lion of Judah. People think that Jesus was a good teacher, and he was the best, but he was so much more than a good teacher. And so this morning, I just want to take a few minutes to unwrap the baby in the manger. And to do that, I'm just going to let you reflect on the names of Jesus in the Bible. Did you know that there are more than 200 names that are ascribed to Jesus? They're so much more than names, they are descriptions of who he is and his ministry. So for a few minutes, just reflect on these names of Jesus, and then when we come back, I'm going to ask the question, what then do we give to this person? What then do we give to Jesus? It's just a very, very brief snapshot of who Jesus is. This baby in a manger. And what do we do? How do we respond? What gift can we give? Have you ever had the dilemma of thinking about a gift for someone who has everything? Right? What do you give to the person who has everything? What do you give to Jesus who has everything, who is the reason for everything, and who is in essence holding this universe together? And I want to suggest to you this morning that first of all, we can give him the gift of obedience. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." I'm always astounded at the obedience of Mary. This young teenage girl who receives a visitation from an angel. Wasn't SMS back then, no texting, no Facebook. But she receives a visit from an angel, and this angel tells her something that is mind-blowing and astounding. She says to Mary, "Mary, you will fall pregnant, but it will be a supernatural pregnancy. There will be no insemination, there will be no sexual relationships, you will become pregnant." Oh, okay. That's different, right? "And by the way, Mary, the baby that you are carrying will be the Son of God." Okay, good. And any other girl would have just freaked out. And any other person would have just been overwhelmed. But what does Mary say? She says, "This is scary. This is really maybe a little bit weird. But may it be to me just as you have said, because I am the Lord's servant." It's the gift of obedience. And I want to say to you this morning that it was not obedience which is motivated by compulsion. We can always get people to obey under compulsion, can't we? Parents, you know what this is like. You can get your children to obey. You can bribe them with ice cream if they clean up their room, whatever it might be. You can compel someone and they will obey. But I want to say to you this morning that Mary's obedience came from love and faith. And both love and faith are the hallmarks of true obedience. What gift can we give to Jesus, who is the King of Kings, who is the reason for everything? Well, this season, we can give him the gift of our obedience, which is motivated by love and faith. Jesus said, "If you love me, you what? You will obey me." The gift of obedience. Secondly, we can give the gift of awe. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, that was the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. You know, I'm a little bit of a wordsmith, and I love exploring the etymology of words. And I spent a bit of time looking at the word awe this week. And the word awe is it's kind of a mixed emotion of fear, reverence, respect, terror. And this was the emotion that the shepherds experienced when the angels appeared to them. It was awe. But when you go through the word awe and you look at all the derivatives and all the extensions of the word, one of the words is the word awful. We use that word, don't we? The word awful. And we use it in a negative connotation. We say, "Oh, I had an awful day at the office," or, you know, "I had an awful experience. I had an awful dinner." Whatever it might be. And we use the word negatively, but in the ancient use of the word, it was actually a positive word, and it referred to something or someone that was awe-inspiring. Something that was jaw-dropping. And I'm afraid that in our culture today, everything is so passe or so banal that there is nothing awful or awesome or awe-inspiring. In fact, we take the word that should just be reserved for, I think, God himself, and we diminish the use of it, and we use the word awesome for anything. How was your coffee? Awesome. How was your second coffee? Awesome. How was your dinner? Awesome. And it seems to me that there is nothing really, really that's awful. And hear me right, and hear this in the right sense of the word. God himself is full of awe. And our awe should be reserved for him alone. And the shepherds experienced this mixed emotion of fear and terror and awe that didn't paralyze them in their fear. They then went to say, "Let's go and see this thing that's happened." And the gift that we can give this Christmas to Jesus, the Son of God, is the gift of awe, where Christmas will not be banal or passe or just another Christmas that passes us by, that we will stop and remember that this baby in the manger, as we unwrap him, is so much more than just a baby in a manger. And awe, the response of awfulness, in the right sense, should be reserved for him. Yeah? And thirdly, we can give the gift of generosity. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. The wise men from the east had a sense of who Jesus was, and they realized that a six-pack of socks from Fosse's or wherever you get them from, those gifts were not going to cut it at Christmas time for the king. And so they gave him gifts that were fitting, and their gifts were generous gifts. Gifts of gold, gifts of frankincense, and gifts of myrrh. Very, very expensive gifts. And I can't imagine for a moment that Mary just put the gold on the mantelpiece and came every week and shined it and thought to herself, what a lovely nugget of gold. This can be a family heirloom. I'm sure that Mary would have taken that gold and the other expensive gifts, and she would have used those things to trade and to keep her little young family alive and well fed and sheltered. Wonder how long those gifts lasted for and how long they sustained her little family. Expensive, generous gifts. And this year, when we think of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, let's be generous in how we approach people. Let's be generous and extravagant in our love and grace and our provision where we see need. I'm going to ask Karen to come and share with us for a few minutes something that's happened this week, something that she and others have done on your behalf, which is an expression of generosity.
This week I had the privilege, along with Ronnie, Chappy Ronnie, to deliver 20 hampers to families in the school community on behalf of our church. The gratefulness and appreciation and sheer surprise from many of the families and the why me was just so encouraging to see. It was really cool. And Ronnie will agree. It was simply amazing when some of them, you know, looked at us and, you know, we're saying, yeah, why me? You know, why us? And we just said, because, you know. What else can you say? I also had another opportunity this week for our church to show great generosity and on behalf of you guys, I did this. And I did this yesterday. Earlier in the week, I don't know if you saw it on the 7 News, there was a lady in Bundaberg who... she was out picking up her children, taking her children to school, and her Christmas lights caught on fire, and it burnt her whole house down. Her name was Angie. Now, it was on the news earlier, and then after that, they showed a phone number. They were saying how people had been generous towards her in giving her things and stuff. And they put up this phone number of Angie, and we missed writing it down because I thought, oh, we had a whole lot of presents left over, and I thought, you know, here's these, that I didn't know how many children she had, but I thought, you know, here's something. I was going to Bundy this Saturday, yesterday, to take Reuben up there. I thought, there's an opportunity that I can use. So anyway, I thought, how am I going to get this phone number? So I emailed Channel 7. And I thought, am I going to hear back from them or not? Anyway, the next morning, sure enough, in my email box, there was an email from Pippa Bradshaw, one of the journalists at Channel 7, giving me Angie's phone number and thanking me for our generosity as a church. Anyway, from that, I rang Angie straight away, and she was just taken aback that we would want to do that for her. So anyway, I got the gifts together and we had a hamper that we could give her. So I bundled that all in the car. The back seat was just full of stuff. Barely enough room for room and stuff. But at least we did in the boot and I was okay. Anyway, I went up to Bundy yesterday, dropped Reuben off, and I made contact with her. I said I'd text her when I was leaving where I dropped Reuben off. So I got in contact with her and I was able to meet up with her at one of the shopping centres. And she was just, she was just speechless. She said, "What can I say?" And I said, "You don't need to say anything." I said, "Just be thankful, you know, just take it, just, have a happy Christmas. We hope that this helps your situation." And she was just so grateful. She was in tears. She just couldn't believe it, because it wasn't just one present for each kid. Like, there was numerous presents. I went to the op shop this week, and they had some farmyards that this man builds and gives to the op shop to sell. And there was two of those. She had four kids. She had a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old boys, a 6-year-old girl, and a 4-year-old boy. And I was able to take two of these farmyards up for the two older boys. And she was just, no words could describe what she was like, and she had no words to describe how she was feeling and how that made her feel. And it was just a fantastic opportunity to be a part of that. And she just said, "Please thank your church family on my behalf." And she's going to send me photos of the kids with their presents once they open them. So hopefully, I don't know, they might just be on the phone, so they might not be real good quality. But if I can, I'll put them up after I get those back. But she just said, "How can I thank you enough?" And to pass on her thanks and gratitude. Anyway.
Yeah. So we have the opportunity to give the gift of generosity. And there's many ways that you can do that. Some of you are thinking, "Well, how can we do that?" There's many Christian organisations who now produce a Christmas catalogue, and the idea is that you buy something like a goat or a water pump, and it goes to somewhere in the third world. You actually receive that as a gift in a card, but the gift is given to where it's needed. I remember one Christmas my daughter gave me a chicken. I opened up this card and it said, "Your gift is a chicken." So I went out the back looking for the chicken. And, no, I didn't. I realised what it was. It was a gift through Tear Fund. And the gift was the supply of a chicken to a household. And it helps them to achieve at least some sort of sustainable livelihood. See, if you do that, you'll still have a good Christmas. They'll have a good life. So the gift of generosity. And you might say, "Well, how is that a gift to Jesus?" Jesus once said, "Whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me." When you give a cup of cold water to someone who's needy of water, when you give bread to someone who needs bread, when you do it to the least of these brothers, Jesus said, "You do it to me." So this morning, in response to the great Jesus, the one who is the reason for the season, the one who stands at the centre of history, the one who is worthy of all of our praise, who is so much more than the baby in the manger, in response to him, the gift of obedience, which is prompted by love and faith, the gift of awe, because he alone deserves our awe, and the gift of generosity. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in this season we remember so much about what you've done for us in and through Christ. We thank you that the baby in the manger is so much more, that the baby in the manger is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The baby in the manger is our Saviour. The baby in the manger is Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. The baby in the manger is our mediator. The baby in the manger is our Redeemer. And this morning and through this season, my prayer is that our hearts would be opened, that we would be receptive to opportunities to respond to Jesus with obedience, with awe, and practically with generosity to those around us. Empower us by your Spirit to be that people this season, in Jesus' name. Amen.